Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on River Talk, 1290 AM, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, and 1430 AM. Talking to the Ohio Valley with a local voice.
My local voice is my regional voice, is my national voice, is my international voice, is my solar system voice, is my galactic voice, is my universal voice, is my... I'll stop now before I hurt myself. Matt Bruning is our very special guest, Press Secretary ODOT, and we are talking about the roadways here in our listening area. Most of our listeners drive while they listen to Dimitri Live and Dangerously Local, Matt. So tell me, what is going on with our roadways, especially here in Belmont County? What's happening?
There's a lot of projects. I don't know all of them in Belmont County, or but across the state, I can tell you we have 955 new projects starting this year. That's about a $3.2 billion investment in our roads. That's billion with a B, and that includes projects in Belmont County, Jefferson County, all 88 of our counties will have a lot of projects going on this year. And that's investment into our roads to keep our roads in good condition, improve them where they need improved, and expand them where they need expanded, where we think they can help economic development and reduce congestion, improve safety. So those are things we do, every day at the Ohio Department of Transportation. You're going to see a lot more orange barrels out there. The joke is that the orange barrel is the official flower of Ohio, it seems. And I know that's going to be an inconvenience to people, and people can be upset by the delay. Heck, on my way to work this morning, I tried to turn on the US-23 from State Route 207 in Ross County, only to find that they had the ramp blocked because they're paving US-28 right there where the ramp, merges into 23. So I had to last minute take a detour. I wasn't expecting to take on my way to work. I could have gotten frustrated, yelled and screamed, and probably gone onto ODOT's Facebook page and cursed them out about it. Or I could just drive on up to the next road and make a left and another left and be right back on 23. And it added 3 minutes to my drive, but it wasn't that big of a deal.
It's a damn shame. It's a damn shame that the press office of ODOT did not let you know that this was going on. I think heads need to roll. That's what I think,
heads
Matt Bruning.
Need to roll. Well, you know what? The best part about it is I'm sure it was probably a 15-minute closure at best. That the paving machine just happened to get to that point at the same time I did. So no fault, no foul. I'm cool with it because at the end of the day, I'll be driving home on brand new pavement on US 23, and it's in better condition than when I found it yesterday morning. So,
all right,
I'm happy with it.
All right, tell me about pavement and all that. Why do you do you always use asphalt, or do you sometimes use cement?
It just depends. It depends on the situation, the type of roadway, the location, and the contractor, and the cost. We build that into many of our projects where we kind of leave it up to the contractor. Hey, if the cost benefit analysis shows that, asphalt's the better choice, then go with that. If it shows that concrete is the better choice, go with that.
When is that? When is it one or the other?
I think a lot of that's done on the bid section of the process. When a contractor's deciding a bid, that is part of what they take into consideration there. Obviously, interstates, high truck traffic locations are going to have concrete in the base because get that extra weight that you see out there on the roadways. Asphalt has its advantages. Concrete has its advantages. Both have their drawbacks as well. So it's just going to be situational and a cost benefit analysis that has to be done to decide.
Okay. Is there anything that coming down the pike, a new type of roadway that will essentially eliminate potholes, any scientific breakthrough, anything at all? Can you give us any hope regarding the potholes?
Well, the potholes are the result, obviously, as you know, of Ohio's lovely freeze-thaw cycle that we get every winter into the spring, and really it starts in the fall in some regards. Water seeps down into little cracks and crevices within the pavement. It freezes, it expands, it thaws and contracts, and that goes back and forth and back and forth, and eventually it weakens the roadway surface or the surface underneath of it. And that's when we see those potholes form. And that's not unique to Ohio. Every state in with a temperate climate deals with that. But yes, we're always looking to work with the industry. There are a lot of researchers that are always looking for different materials that might work better. We have a test lab in Columbus and really kind of at all of our districts. But the big test lab is in Columbus where they test these materials. And the real goal there, Dimitri, is when we sign a contract with a contractor and we design a mix for that pavement that gets put down, whether it be asphalt, concrete, whether it be rebar in a bridge, whether it be steel components of a structure, all of that, we want to make sure we're getting what we paid for. So there are testing that gets done on that. And if there's something that's not right, we make the contract.
Is it getting better? Is there any hope? Is there anything?
I think it is. And I think certainly as the industry continues to evolve, you know, they're always looking for better ways to you know, build a better roadway, build better pavement. So yeah, there's always ways you can innovate. And I know that our, you know, we're blessed in Ohio. We've got a lot of great contractors here who do a lot of great work. We've got some great folks at the Ohio Department of Transportation. We've got some great research institutions. We've got people that are looking into ways to make it better.
Can you tell them to get on it? Because I'm really getting tired of these potholes. By the way, in what century are you going to finally finish the work in Zanesville?
Well, it will be finished in this century. So one of the things I know you and I have talked about before when we've discussed this issue is the thing that makes a project like that take long, like it is because we have to maintain traffic through it. So, for example, with the Blaine Hill Bridge, we can do a lot of things with that particular project because there is no traffic moving through it that we cannot do on I-70 in Zanesville. Now, if we were able to just shut down I-70 completely and just say, we're going to blitz this section of road and rebuild it, which, again, remember, this is rebuilding the interstate from the ground up, from the dirt up. So you're putting a new base in. It's not just repaving it. It's completely rebuilding it, rebuilding these bridges that are in that area. And you have to maintain all lanes of traffic at the same time. That's really hard to do. That would be like saying, I'm going to remodel my kitchen, but I'm going to do it where I can cook breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day without any delay while I'm trying to remodel the kitchen. It's very challenging to do, and you're only going to be able to do certain things at one time. So we can't just dig up the entire interstate and redo it. We have to maintain all those lanes of traffic as we do. So it's one lane at a time, move traffic over to the new lane, and then work on the lane that was being used by traffic.
So
that just makes it take longer. We're closing in on the finish line. You know, I think that was a 6-year project, and we started it back around, I want to say, 21. So we are getting very close to the finish line here on that project.
And when is that going to be finished again, please?
I believe that's 28, if I remember correctly.
27, 28. 28?
You're asking me all these questions, and I don't have my computer pulled up in front of me. I'm trying to get to work this morning.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was work for you. As the press secretary for ODOT, you're on with the most friendly venue that you've ever been on. Somebody who puts up with you, puts up with your home life. Oh, I can drive the kids to school. I don't want them to be tardy and this, that, and the other. And then you're not prepared to give us the information that we demand? Matt Bruning. God, jeez.
Here's the best part, Dimitri.
What?
I haven't clocked in. So you're getting this whole interview for free, not a tax dime being spent.
How about
that?
Man.
That's a great deal, isn't it?
I feel like Elon Musk and Doge. This is great. Jeez. So help me understand something, Matt Bruning. All kidding aside, the drive from, I drive down to that, one of my great clients is Bridgeport Equipment and Tool, and they've got this magnificent mega mall type store in Marietta. So I drive down there, go down 70. 70 is like, it's all right. But 79 going down to Marietta is a lovely drive. The roadway is just beautiful. It's terrific. It really is. But nobody drives the speed limit. Why do we even bother with speed limits anymore? Because you know that nobody drives the speed limit anymore.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, isn't it? I mean, so part of the reason you have a speed limit is because when a road is designed, it is designed with a speed, like a max speed designed into it. So, curves, are they banked because they have a higher speed versus flatter because they have a lower speed? How far do you have different elements on the road from each other? All of that is taken into consideration based on the speed limit that is, that road is designed for. So, that's one reason you have speed limits. The other reason we have speed limits is obviously we know, that, the faster you're going, if there is to be a collision, it's going to be more severe. Also, the faster you're going, the less time you have to react to something. If I'm, doing 35 miles an hour on a city street and eighth of a mile up the road runs out into traffic, I have some time to react to that versus I'm going 70 miles an hour. My reaction time, that's available to me is going to be much, much shorter. So there are a lot of reasons to have speed limits. I wish people obeyed them more. I think that would make our roadways safer. We know speed is a factor in a lot of crashes, especially the deadly crashes that we see here in the state of Ohio. It's a mentality I think that a lot of us have. I just want to get there quicker. And when you really look at it, going 10 miles an hour over the speed limit or so, depending on the distance you're traveling, if it's a short distance for sure, it's really not going to save you that, or it's not going to gain you that much more time.
No one's talking about only 10 miles an hour over the speed limit.
Well, I know.
Just 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. I mean, let's be honest here. All right, look, we're almost out of time. I know we have you to 8:45. We've got a break at 8:40, and it's got a few spots. And so by the time the break is over, you've got to leave anyway. So we've got about 3 minutes before the break. I do appreciate your time, especially because it's free. Warnings to protect the ODOT workers in construction zones. Talk with us about that and what else we need to do as drivers in our vehicles.
Well, it's a heck of a segue because, one of the things we need people to do is slow down to these work zones, pay attention, move over and give our crews room to work. When you look at the fact that last year there were 4,000 work zone crashes in the state of Ohio, about 36% of the time workers were present. And then when you look at the number of speeding tickets that the State Highway Patrol wrote in work zones, and I believe that's north of 8,000 last year, about 28% of those were for speeds above 20 miles an hour over the speed limit. So you can see that people are driving way too fast in these work zones. And that is a real problem because things change quickly in work zones. As anybody who's driven through them may know, you can have lane shifts, you can have equipment entering and exiting the highway. We really, really need people to pay extra attention to these work zones. We've had too many crashes already. ODOT's been hit 60 times this year. We were hit all of last year 84 times. So really concerning that we're that high already and we're only in April. And construction season's really kind of just getting underway. Yeah. So that's the big thing today is, just reminding people to pay extra attention to those work zones.
What happens, and I noticed this more in Pennsylvania and some in West Virginia, you have work zone signs.
Mm-hmm.
But no one's doing any work. There's no one there. It's like they all just forgot the signs and half the orange barrels are knocked over. It all looks like crap. What do you do then?
Yeah, so a lot of times you can have situations where, concrete may be curing. You may be waiting on a piece of equipment or some materials to arrive at the sites. It just depends. There's a lot of things that can be going on even down, out of sight from motorists who are driving, depending on the project. Might be working under a bridge or off to the side of the road, or maybe you're waiting on utilities to get moved. Or something like that. There are a lot of different things. And, people say, I've had people suggest, well, why don't you just take down the barrels then when they're, not doing something and put them back? Well, that takes a long time too. Mm. And that's honestly one of the most dangerous parts of a work zone is when you're, removing and setting up the work zone. So they try to do that the least amount possible. But obviously it's a balance between, obviously we know work zones are an inconvenience for those who are using the road. And we obviously need to get the work done. So those are a couple of the reasons why you might be seeing a work zone, but not really seeing much work in said work zone.
All right. We're almost out of time. Very quickly, if people want more information from ODOT and Matt Bruning, how do they do that, Matt?
Yeah, a couple ways. Transportation.ohio.gov is the ODOT website. You can also follow us on social media. Your area is in District 11, so make sure you're looking up District 11 on social media. There's also ogo.com, which is OHGO.com. That's where you can find live traffic information. And by the way, on the website, transportation.ohio.gov, you can even sign up for weekly construction updates. So get those sent right to your inbox.
Fantastic. A great guest, as always. And you got your kids to school on time. Win-win. Matt Bruning, have a great day. We'll do it again real soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.